السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخنا.
أبو عامر، how are you؟
الحمد لله سلام.
Can we go on with the class؟
نعم شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In continuation of our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail. We are still on the chapter Babun Yuhfa fi wujuh al-maddahin. Yuhfa fi wujuh al-maddahin. The chapter that the dust should be packed and poured on the face of the praise singers, people who have taken praising the people for a job. They praise the people to earn a living. So they go on praising the people. By that, they fall into al-kadhib. They become kazaboon. By that, they fall into nifaq and become munafiqun from that angle. By that, they fall into mujazafat. They fall into extremism of various forms, because they will say about a person a trait that he may have, but they will describe it beyond what he has. That is also from the aspect of committing a sin, because they will encourage sometimes a person who is clearly sinful. They will praise him, and then he thinks by his being praised, he is upon goodness. So that will sort of give him some sort of comfort in his mind. So over praising the people or praising the people for a job, when a person takes praising people for a job, it becomes madah. But we have repeatedly also explained that praising the people may be beneficial. In fact, it may be compulsory in some circumstances. It may be encouraged in some circumstances. It may just be merely permissible in some circumstances, just as we have said that it may be discouraged in some circumstances. In fact, it may be an absolute prohibition in some circumstances. And we gave hints about how to recognize each circumstance that will bring about the ruling that is desired in the circumstance. But here, one of the ways the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to stop those who have taken praise singing as a job, as an earning, the means of obtaining livelihood, is that we pack the sand and pour in the face of a person who becomes, who comes overboard in praising the people. We read the hadith of Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, Abu Yahya, rahimahullah, Abu Ma'bad, rahimahullah, radiyallahu anhu. We also read the Athar, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, Abu Abdul Rahman, radiyallahu anhuma, that he had a man praising another one and going overboard. Then Abu Abdul Rahman, Abdullah ibn Umar, packed some sand and poured in the face of that person who went overboard in the praise of his brother. And then Abdullah ibn Umar said, radiyallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الْمَدَّاحِينَ, when you come across, when you find al-maddahin, those who praise people for a living, they praise the people to earn a livelihood. Fahsu fi wujuhihim al-turab. Four sand upon their faces. Fahsu fi wujuhihim al-turab. Allah protect us from this. The next hadith under that chapter heading is hadith 341. This hadith is lengthy. And I think that to help us visualize or conceptualize that hadith, to help us understand that hadith, it is good that I quickly give a general view of what happened in the narration. The hadith involves a tabi'i and a number of companions. The tabi'i, his name is Raja'u ibn Abi Raja'. Raja ibn Abi Raja'. This tabi'i went to the companion, radiyallahu anhu, Mihjam. The name of the companion is Mihjan al-Aslami. Mihjan al-Aslami and Raja, they went out to one of the masajid in their community in Al-Basra at that time. Raja'u is a tabi'i. Mihjan was a companion, radiyallahu anhu. Raja came to Mihjan and the two of them went out to a masjid in their community at the time in Basra. Now they met another companion at the masjid who was sitting at the doorpost of the masjid. That companion was Buraida al-Aslami. So Buraida al-Aslami, radiallahu anhu, met with Raja and Mihjan. And there was a discussion between Mihjan and Buraida. Buraida was talking about another person in the masjid who was observing his salah. Buraida said to Mihjan in the presence of Raja that what does he think about that man? Buraida was in the masjid. So he started talking about another man in the masjid who was observing lengthy salah, beautiful recitation, and all of this. He wanted to know Buraida, a companion, wanted to know what Mihjan, another companion, will say positively by way of praising and pouring encomium on that person in the masjid that Buraida had seen, who was observing lengthy salah and reciting the Quran in a nice manner in that lengthy salah. So when Buraida asked for the view of Mihjan, Mihjan refused to speak. He refused to approve. He refused to praise that person who was in the masjid. Now, Mihjan left the place and as if to explain to Raja why he refused to comment positively, why he refused to praise that person about whom Buraida had spoken to him, that person who was observing Salah. Mihjan now said what happened between himself and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, how himself and the Prophet went out. They got to the roof, the top of Uhud, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something about Medina. They came down and then they returned to Medina, and then they met the man in the masjid who was being praised that he was observing lengthy salah and all of this. He was to be praised, and the Prophet stopped Mihjan from praising that person who was observing lengthy salah. So you will see Mihjan was employing what had happened between himself and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as evidence for what he did when Buraida spoke and wanted him to praise another person. That one happened at where? Basra. I hope that the general picture is now gotten regarding this hadith. I think after giving this illustration, it can now move to the narration proper. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Musa, Qala Haddathana Abu Awana, An Abi Bishrin, An Abdul الله بن شقيق عن رجاء بن أبي رجاء النحجن الأسلمي قال قال رجاء أقبلت مع النحجن ذات يوم حتى انتهينا إلى مسجد أهل البصرة فإذا بريدة الأسلمي على باب من أبواب المسجد جالس قال وكان في المسجد رجل يقال له سكبة يقيم الصلاة فلما انتهينا إلى باب المسجد وعليه بردة وكان بريدة صاحب مزاحات فقال يا محجن أتصلي كما يصلي سكبة فلم يرد عليه محجن ورجع قال محجن إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أخذ بيدي فانطلقنا نمشي حتى صعدنا أحد فأشرق على المدينة فقال ويل أمها من قرية يتركها أهلها كأعمر ما تكون يأتيها الدجال فيجد على كل باب من أبوابها ملكا فلا يدخلها ثم انحدر حتى إذا كنا في المسجد رأى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رجلا يصلي ويسجد ويركع فقال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من هذا؟ فأخذت أبريه فقلت يا رسول الله هذا فلان وهذا فقال أمسك لا تسمعه فتهلكه قال فانطلق يمشي حتى إذا كان عند حجره لكنه نقض يديه ثم قال إن خير دينكم أيسره إن خير دينكم أيسره ثلاثة الإمام البخاري رحمه الله رفق بالحديث عن الشيخ موسى بن إسماعيل He read a number of hadith from Musa ibn Ismail, and that is Musa ibn Ismail at-Tabughati, rahimahullah, is reporting from Abu Awan, the Sheikh of Musa ibn Ismail at-Tabughati. In this hadith is Abu Awana, Wadbahu ibn Abdullah al-Yashkur, Abu Awana in this tabaqa. In this level of reporter from the Shaykh of the Shuyukh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari was who Abu Awana Wadbahu ibn Abdullah al-Yashkuri rahimahullah and he is reporting from Abu Bishrin. Abu Bishrin in this isnad is Ja'far ibn Abi Wahshiyah Ja'far ابن أبي وحشية اليشكري أبو بشر the Sheikh of أبو عوانة is Ja'far ابن أبي وحشة اليشكري رحمه الله he said عن عبد الله بن شقيق عبد الله بن شقيق رحمه الله was the eminent تابعي أبو عبد الرحمن البقيلي البصري Abdullah ibn Shaqiq is well known. We remember his report regarding the one who abandons Salah, that the companions used to consider whoever abandons Salah as a kafir. That narration was reported by Abdullah ibn Shaqiq. He was from amongst the students of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, and Abdullah ibn Umar. He was also from amongst the students of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and Abu Dhar bin al-Ghifari. He was also a student of a number of the companions, and many amongst the eminent Tabi'un who were younger than him reported a hadith from him. Even his colleagues reported narrations from him, Abdullah ibn Shaqiq. he is reporting from another Tabi'i, Raja ibn Abi Raja al-Bahili, Abdullah ibn Shaqiq. It's reporting from another Tabi'i. So this hadith has two from amongst the Tabi'i. This hadith has two from amongst the Tabi'i, Abdullah ibn Shaqiq and Raja ibn Abi Raja al-Bahili. This hadith, it has two companions, radiyallahu anhum. It also has two from amongst the Tabi'un, Abdullah ibn Shaqiq and Raja'u ibn Abi Raja' al-Bahili, radiyallahu anhum. Raja'u ibn Abi Raja' is reporting from Mihjan al-Aslami, radiyallahu anhum. Mihjan al-Aslami, he is Mihjan ibn al-Adra, al-Ad bid-Dal. Mihjan ibn al-Adra. Mihjan ibn al-Adra al-Aslami. We will understand that this is not a companion whose name is in regular mention. So let us notice Mihjan ibn al-Adra al-Aslami is the companion in this hadith who actually reported that statement from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So Raja'u ibn Abi Raja' said, Aqbaltu ma'a Mihjan dhaka yawmin hatta intahayna ila masjidi ahli Basra. Aqbaltu ma'a Mihjan. I proceeded, I advanced, I went out with Mihjan dhaka yawmin hatta انتهينا إلى مسجد أهل البصرة. So I went out with Mihjan ibn al-Adra al-Aslami, the companion, one day. حتى انتهينا إلى مسجد أهل البصرة. Until we reached the masjid of the people of Basra. He said, رحمه الله, فإذا بريدة الأسلم على باب من أبواب المسجد جالس. When we got to the masjid, we found Burayda, the second companion in this hadith, is who? Burayda al-Aslam. And that is Burayda ibn al-Husayd. Burayda ibn al-Husayd. Burayda ibn al-Husayd, radiyallahu anhu. Al-Aslami. So you can see Mihjan ibn al-Adra was al-Aslami, just like Burayda to ibn al-Husayd. He was also what? Aslamiyun. He was also al-Aslami. So they found Burayda al-Aslami ala babin min abwab al-masjid jalisun. Raja ibn Abi Raja and Mihjan met Burayda ala babin min abwab al-masjid jalisun. They met him on one of the doors of the masjid. He was sitting down. Qal Raja'u said, wa kana fi al-masjid rajulun yuqalu lahu Sukba yutilu as-salah. And in that masjid there was a man who used to be called Sukba. The masjid where Raja'u and Mihjan met Burayda, there was a man who used to be called Sukba, Yutilus Salah. He used to extend his Salah. This man, Sukba, in some reports, would find that his name was mentioned to be Sukayna. So in some reports, it said it was Sukba. So perhaps that would have come from the way those alphabets would have been written in the manuscript, whether it was Sukba or was Sukaina. So the man, from what he was known for, was that Yutilu Salah wa alayhi burda. Sukba was wearing a cloak. He had a cloak over him, and he was observing a lengthy salah. Perhaps the number of rak'ats were many, or that he stayed long on each of the rak'ats. رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. أخرجا وسيخدع. فلما انتهينا إلى باب المسجد وعليه بردة, we got to the door of the masjid. We saw that that man, Sukba, was wearing what a burda. He was wearing, he had a cloak on him. وَكَانَ بُرَيْدَةُ صَاحِبَ مُزَحَةً وَكَانَ بُرَيْدَةُ صَاحِبَ مُزَحَةً. Then Rajau spoke about Burayda, that Burayda is what to say is what Sahibu Muzahar. He was a man who joked a lot. This means we have even amongst the companions. In this case, we had Burayda ibn al-Husayb. He was a man who jokes with people. We have this amongst the people too. We have some people, whenever you meet them, you take a humor from them. They have a joke. They have a humor. But don't forget, as permissible as jokes are, they must not involve lies and the other things that the Sharia has prohibited, like backbiting and bringing down the rest of the people. So Burayda ibn al-Husayb was a person who joked. He usually had muzahat. He was a man who was very humorous. He would say something and the people would smile. Radiallahu anhu. Faqala ya Mihjan. So Burayda ibn al-Husayb al-Aslami said to Mihjan ibn al-Adra, ya Mihjan, O Mihjan, atusalli kama yusalli Sukba, would you observe Salah as long as Sukba would observe Salah? Would you pray like that? Look at how nice his Salah was. So the ulama, he brought the attention of Mihjan to the Salat of who? Sukba, so that Mihjan may say something positive about who? Sukba. And by way of encouraging Mihjan, or making, he wants Mihjan, he wants to call attention to the good deeds of Sukba. So when he did that, فَلَمْ يَرُدَّ عَلَيْهِ مِحْجَانُ مِحْجَانْ إِبْنُ الْأَدْرَى did not give any sort of a response. وَرَجَعَ instead of responding, he turned his back and went away. Call. Raja said, call a Mihjan. So Mihjan left the scene, refusing to give any praise. For who? For Sukba. Mihjan was asked by Burayda ibn al-Husayb, as if to say, what would you like to say about him? Look at how nice the man's salah was. But instead of saying anything, Mihjan, radiallahu anhu, was silent. Yarhamukallah. And then he left the place. Radiallahu anhu. Now, it remained Raja'u ibn Abi Raja'a anhu and Mihjan. Then Raja'u said, Qala Mihjan. Mihjan then said, Inna Rasulallahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because here, Raja'u may be surprised why Mihjan did not respond to Burayda when Burayda wanted him to praise Sukba. It's a fatigue. Now let me tell you the reason why I did what I did. Let me tell you why I refused to praise Sukba. Now Mihjan wanted to say something that happened between himself and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us note that Mihjan radiallahu anhu ibn al-Adra was qadim al-Islam. He had accepted Islam since a long time ago. Radiallahu anhu. He gave this report and said, Inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam akhadha biyadi fanfalakna namshi hatta su'idna uhuda. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam akhadha biyadi. He held my hand and we moved until we climbed Mount Uhud. There's a point of reference I like to give us here, and you find this a lot in the life of the companions of the Lovan. You see that Raja'u ibn Abi Raja'a was in the company of Abu Mihjan. They went out together. And then you will see that the Prophet wanted to visit Uhud. He did not go alone. What did he do? He grabbed the hands of who? Mihjan, and went with him. The students used to walk with their teacher. They used to be in the company of their teacher. The teacher may want to visit somewhere, go to a place to call a student, come, let's go. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this report, he grabbed the hands of Mihjan. He took him along to Uhud. Just like Raja'u ibn Abi Raja had been in the company of who? Mihjan. When they moved and got to the outskirts of the masjid in Basra. So you see the way the Prophet taught Mihjan. Mihjan also behaved like that to his own students. This kind of a thing is very common amongst the companions. You will always see a replay. You will always see a reenactment of a kind of a thing between the companions radiallahu anhum and the Prophet. You'll always see a replay, like an illustration of it also in the life of the companions and their students to the tabi'un. Don't forget, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam had said to the companions that tasma'un, you listen to me, yusma'u minkum, it will be heard from you too. The ulama say, the way the student behaves with his teacher, he will get that kind of a behavior too. The way the student behaves to the teacher, he will get that kind of a behavior too. If he's a well-behaved student, he will also have students who will be well-behaved to him. So the companions, the way they were with the Prophet alayhi salam, they presented themselves to him. Whenever he wanted, hey, you come, follow me, he quickly followed him. So they, like the same way, their own students too will be following them. And the following is not a following of that is bereft of benefit. It is the kind of following that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned when he met Qadr, when Allah spoke about that in the Quran in Al-Kahf. It says, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِ مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. Should I follow you, O Khadir? عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِ. What I will gain from being in your company is that تُعَلِّمَنِ مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. You will teach me from the guidance that Allah has taught you. You will teach me too. So the essence of the relationship of the student being in the company of this teacher is so that he may benefit knowledge. He may benefit manners. He may benefit worship. He may even benefit experience of life. So he tells him, hey, listen, he had it like this, like this, like this. It was like that between the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his companion. It was like that between the Prophet, the companions, Prophet, the Prophet's companions, radiallahu anhu, and who? The tabi'in. If you go to the books of Akkar, these kinds of things occurred from one generation of Muslims to the other generation of Muslims. They were in the company of their teachers, and their teachers took them also into their company by way of making them gain benefits, just like we also had Musa alayhi salam, who was in the company of who? Khadir. And Allah told us that Musa, from the very beginning, what he sought to obtain from Khadir is what? Guidance. Now some students want to be in the company of the teacher, but they just want a friend, like a talking partner. No, it is Allah unto Alimani. If you want to be in the company of your teacher, let it be a company that you keep because you want to learn. Don't let it be a company you want to keep because you need a friend. You need a talker. You need somebody to talk. No, you need somebody to learn from. You need somebody to obtain guidance from. That's why if you don't think from the very beginning that this is the person who can guide me, then move away from him. You don't think he has the kind of guidance to benefit you from, move away. Because the crux of the relationship between the student and the teacher is what? That the student benefits guidance, knowledge from the teacher. So this is not about that. What is the benefit of being in his company? What is the benefit of traveling with him? What is the benefit of working with him? So when Mihjan Raja'u ibn Abi Raja al-Bahiri, he was in the company of Mihjam, he benefited. And you see Mihjam, he was in the company of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. He benefited. Now he wants to tell us that experience he had with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala Mihjam. Mihjam said, Inna Rasulallahi akhadha biyadi. Fantalakna namshi hatta sa'idna uhuda. Mihjam said, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held my hand. Fantalakna, and we moved. Namshi, we were walking. Hatta sa'idna uhuda. We walked until we climbed Mount Uhud from the mainstream. From, yeah, if you're used to Medina, you walk from Medina to Uhud. It's about a little distance. So you can imagine the kind of things that Mihjam will be asking the Prophet. You can imagine the kind of guidance the Prophet will be providing to who? To Mihjam, radiallahu. So they were upon that walk, upon that stroll, yarhamukallah, upon that stroll, upon that movement, Mihjam with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Then they went up Mount Uhud alayhi salatu wasalam wa radiyallahu an Mihjam fa ashrafa ala al-Madina. When they climbed Mount Uhud, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now looked over Medina. Like inspecting, is looking left, back, all across Medina. They were upon a hill, so they could see the city easily. Then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيْلُ أُمِّهَا مِنْ قَرِيَةٍ يَتْرُكُهَا أَهْلُهَا تَعَعْمَرَ مَا تَكُونَ وَيْلُ أُمِّهَا وَيْلُ أُمِّهَا مِنْ قَرِيَةٍ وَيْلُ أُمِّهَا. It's just like wayhak that we had explained. Wail actually means woe, evil be upon that person. But they say, intending the opposite of it, there are words like this in Arabic. They will say, but they mean the opposite of it. So when they say wailu umniha, what they mean is how nice a town, how good a town, how honorable a town. Yatrukuha ahluha. But what will happen to this town is that the people of Medina will abandon Medina. Ta'amara ma takun. No matter how nice, no matter how successful that this city is, its people will still abandon it. So this is a statement from the Nubuwat of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. This Medina is a nice city. And no matter how prosperous it is, its people will still abandon it. The ulama say that this is from the statement. There's another hadith of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, in Sahih Muslim and Sahih al-Bukhari, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about Medina. He said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, لا يتركنها أهلها على خير ما كان. لا يتركنها أهلها ala khayri ma kana. The people of Medina, la yatrukannaha, they will certainly still abandon Medina, ala khayri ma kana. No matter how prosperous, how nice, how successful this city is, a time will come when these people will run out to be abandoned. Ulama say this is one of the signs of the last hour. From the signs of the last hour is that a lot of success will be in Medina. There'll be a lot of prosperity in Medina. There'll be a lot of goodness in Medina. Yet the people of Medina will abandon Medina. It is one of the signs of the last hour that there will be success, there will be prosperity in Medina. And yet at that time, the people of Medina will find prosperity outside Medina. So the Prophet spoke about it, alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, in that report, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Medina will be so prosperous, and it will be so abundant, and it will be taken over by animals and birds. It will be taken over by predator animals and beds, Medina, why its people would have gone out of it seeking prosperity outside Medina. That's why in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept on speaking about Al-Madina, the same Medina. Says Al-Madina khayrun lahum law kanu ya'lamun. If they know, Medina is better for them. And the early Muslims used to discourage and even prohibit the person going out of Medina to seek prosperity. The early Muslims used to prohibit the person to say, oh, he's living in Medina. He's a resident of Medina. He's not a stranger who came to do something and who would have to go out. No, he's a resident of Medina. And then he becomes, perhaps, he just doesn't have money, needs salary. And then he goes out of Medina to go and seek what they refer to as greener pastures. The early Muslims used to discourage people from doing that because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Al-Madinatu khayrun lahum law kanu ya'lamun. Medina is better for them if they knew it. Then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that this Medina, yatrukun al-Madinata ala khayri ma kana. The people of Medina will still abandon Medina. In this hadith of Mihjan, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, waylu ummiha min qaryatin. How nice it's a city, it's a town. This Medina is. But what will happen is that yatrukuha ahluha ka'a'maru ma takun. Yatrukuha ahluha. What will happen at the end of time is that yatrukuha ahluha ka'a'maru ma takun. Its people will still abandon it, no matter how successful this town will be. And for us to know that the Prophet was talking about what will happen at the end of time, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, yatiha dajjal. Dajjal will come, attempting to come into Medina. Fayajidu ala kulli babin min abwabiha malaka. But he will find ala kulli babin min abwabiha malaka. He will find an angel on each of the doors of Medina. Dajjal will want to come into Medina. But upon his attempt to come into Medina, he will find malakan ala babin min kulli abwabiha. He will find an angel on each of the doors of Medina. Fala yadkhuluha. So Dajjal will not be able to come into Medina. In the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih al-Muslim, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, laysa min baladin illa sayafa'uhu ad-dajjalu illa makkata wal-madina. Laysa min baladin illa sayafa'uhu ad-dajjal illa makkata wal-madina. There is no town, there is no city, except that yafa'uhu ad-dajjal. Dajjal will do what? Dajjal will march upon it. Dajjal will come into it. Illa makkata wal-madina. Except Makkah and Medina. May Allah protect us from the fitna of Dajjal. Because there is no fitna منذ خلق الله السماوات والأرض منذ خلق الله آدم. From the time that Allah created Adam until the last hour, أعظم من فتنة الدجال. That is worse than the fitna of Dajjal. And like he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, as collected in hadith in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad, Dajjal will come when you stop hearing the Imams speak about Dajjal on the Mimbar. One of the signs that Dajjal, his emergence was near or is near, is that you hardly hear an Imam speaking about Dajjal and warning the people about Dajjal. And all the Anbiya and Rusul had warned their people about Dajjal. From the time of Nuh, the Prophet said to Allah. So the Dajjal is something to be talked about. The early Muslims used to give the teachers of their children in the Kutab, they used to give them extra money so that they could teach their children about Dajjal. But we are oblivious of this now. And all the signs, the major signs preceding the emergence of Dajjal, many of them, we already seen them in our own time. But this is the time, Yagulu Naso and Wicked Dajjal. The people are nonchalant now. They are careless now about mentioning Dajjal and reminding themselves, their children and their family about Al-Masih bin Dajjal. May Allah protect us from this evil. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam told Mihjan about what will happen to Medina at the end time and how Dajjal will find it difficult to come into Medina. Mihjan said, "Suman hadar hatta إِذَا كُنَّا فِي الْمَسْجِدِ ثُمَّ انْحَدَرَ." Then Prophet descended from Mount Prophet. حَتَّى إِذَا كُنَّا فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. So you can see the walking of Mihjan in the company of the Prophet. He learned that some things will happen in Medina. Medina will always be a prosperous place. And the people will abandon at the end of time. No matter how prosperous Medina will be, to still be abandoned by its people. The people of Medina will soon abandon Medina. And from amongst the things that will happen is that the Dajjal will attempt entering into Medina, but he will not be successful. May Allah protect him. So when you meet your teachers, you are working with them, you are in their company, talking to them, you are traveling with them. Don't forget those points of benefit you noted, just like Mihjan. Did not forget the benefit he had learned from who? From the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And just like Rajab ibn Abi Rajab did not also forget the benefit he had taken from Mihjan radiyallahu anhu. So Mihjan said, "We came down from Mount Uhud and then we went back into the town. Hatta idha kunna fil masjid رأى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رجلا يصلي. When we got to the masjid, رأى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رجلا يصلي في المسجد. The Prophet saw it, a man يصلي. He was observing salah. ويسجد ويركع. He was making sujood. He was making ruku. He was making nawaf. Prophet came and met him. وقال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم asked me, من هذا? Who is that person of God? Standing up, making ruku. Who is that? This is evidence that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام did not know everybody. If he knew him, he would not ask him, who is that person? Maybe a stranger from the village. Maybe a man who was rearing his cattle or heading his sheep or something, came to town, was observing the water. Or maybe from amongst the people of the residents in the village. The Prophet might not have known every single individual. But you know what? Every one of them knew the Prophet alayhi salam. Except some of the women also. Because there's a hadith of a woman who was crying near a grave. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was cautioning her. And she spoke a negative word because she did not know that that is Rasulullah. So sometimes people will be like that. You as the head, as the leader, as the teacher, as the sheikh, whatever, you may not know every single person. But those people will know you. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was asking Mihjan, man hadha, who is that person observing salah? Who is he? So Mihjan said, radiallahu anhu, فَأَخَذْتُهُ فُرِيهِ فَأَخَذْتُهُ يعني فَذَهَبْتُ فَشَرَعْتُ. You know these أفعال, what they are called in Al-Tab. So فَشَرَعْتُ فَذَهَبْتُ أُفْرِيهِ. So I went on continuing to أُفْرِيهِ, praise the man. I began to speak well. I began to say, ah, that man is like this, he's like this. I began to praise the man. Qultu ya Rasulallah, hadha, fulan, hadha, wa hadha. I began to say, this person is knowledgeable, is this, is that, is this. I began to praise the man. I call, I'm sick. But the prophet said, hold back, stop it. That was why when Buraida spoke to Mishjan about Sukba, what did Mishjan do? What did he do? He did not say anything. Why? Because he had been cautioned by the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam not to go on to speak in praises of such a person. In fact, it was just like a replay of what had happened to Mishjan. That was the same thing that Buraida ibn al-Husayn was telling Mishjan about who took part. And then Mishjan, taking a lesson from what he had learned from the Prophet, he did not say anything. Because when Mishjan began to praise that man in the masjid, the Prophet said to him, alayhi salatu wa salam, I'm sick. Stop it. La tusmi'hu wa tuflikuhu. La tusmi'hu. Stop it. So that you do not make him hear what you say. Wa tuflikuhu. And you destroy him because of that. You want to start praising the man over his nawafit? Don't. So that you don't destroy him. You don't destroy his humility. You don't destroy his modesty. You don't put in his mind arrogance. You don't put in his mind self-amazing. So the Prophet said that, alayhi salatu wasalam, so that Mishjan does not say something that puts the man in the masjid into trial. So Mishjan said, radiallahu anhu, fantalaqa yamshi. The Prophet proceeded walking after that incident with Mishjan, hatta idha kana inda hujarihi, until when the Prophet was near his apartment, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lakinnahu nafa bayadayhi. But what now happened is that nafa bayadayhi, the Prophet released his hands from what? From the hand of Mishjan. The Prophet then released his hand. I remember vividly as a little young boy, when we went to the masjid, my daddy would hold my hand. But we did not like it. Young people like to walk on their own. These days, too, when we go with children, I hold some. Some people want to, I will leave my hand, let me be walking. This was the Prophet, alayhi salatu wa salam, holding the hands of who? Mishjan. They went from the town, they went to Uhud. They came from Uhud. They got to in front of the house of the Prophet, Qabla Nafdi al-Rasuli alayhi salatu salam, yadahu, before the Prophet released his hand. So sometimes the teacher may hold the hand of the student, talk it to him. And the reason why he will do that is that he wants the student to pay attention to what he will say throughout the period. In fact, sometimes when elders want to say something very important, they were not holding your hand. They will now hold your hand. So that's what you pay attention. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam held the hand of Mishjan from when they were in Medina to when they went to Uhud at the outskirts. They did what they did, and then they returned to the town. In all of that, what was going on was that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was holding the hand of Mishjan. So when they wanted to, when he got in front of the apartment, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nafa wa yadayhi, he released his hand from maqal. And the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa sallam, inna khayra dinikum aytaruhu. Inna khayra dinikum aytaruhu. Alasa. The Prophet said it three times. Inna khayra dinikum. The best of your deen, the best of your practice in your Islam, aytaruhu, are the ingredients. Be easy in yourself. Be easy in your deen. The best of it is those ones that are easy for you. Ma ja'alallahu alaykum iddeen in al-haraj. Allah has not brought this in as a means of problems and troubles for us. Ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. You have not been sent with Qur'an wretchedness. So Islam has not brought trouble to us. The easy is the first. So you don't have to make 2,000 raka'at of nawaf. You don't have to make 4,000 raka'at of nawaf. You don't have to. Once you make 2 units, 4 units, then that's okay. After Salatul Zuhur, you make 4 units. After, before Zuhur, 4 units. Before Zuhur, 2 units. Before, after Zuhur, 2 units. It doesn't have to be 1,000, because 1,000 will be much for you. And there's an option between 4 or 2. You can make 4, make 2. Qiyamul Layl. There's option of 13. From 13, 11, 9, 7, 5, 3, 1. And that's why there are some of the companions like Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan and Abdullah ibn Abbas. For a long time before they passed away, their Qiyamul Layl was one single rak'ah. Why? Because the Prophet had taught them, alayhi salatu wasalam, that khayra deenikum aysarukum. The best of your deen is the one that is easy for you. So don't seek to make 50 rak'ahs in the middle of the night, because it's going to wear you out. You will not be able to continue. Don't seek to make 30 rak'ahs. You can make 1. You can make 3. You can make 5. You can make 7. You can make 9. You can make 11, and that's the best. Avoid to let it go past 11. Your late night prayer. When you observe it, you'll be calm in it. You'll be seated in it. It will not be like, sujud, ruku, sujud, ruku, up, down, now, this, that. No. To be a calm, well observed Qiyamul Layl. Then you can wake up in the night and observe it. Or you observe it right after Isha. Like the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam advised Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, and who? Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, and who? Abu Darda. There are 3 of them who took that advice from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Observe your late night prayer after Isha. And that is common with many of our own babas. After Isha, they brought with immediately. Many young people now don't make witr. Immediately after Isha, they start browsing. And they go and sleep not having observed the witr. This is very bad from us. Very bad. So the point here is, do what is easy. Do what is easy. As it is easy. So do it well. Do it well. The ease here is not that you change 4 units of Zuhur to 2 units. No, this is not what this is talking about. Choose from the deen what is easy from you, so you do it well. You do it with good attention. You do it, you pray, you are full, you are conscious. Just like a person who can say, after Isha, he will not sleep until Fajr. You will see him, he will be weak at that place, the third part of the night, when the dua is best answered. That is the time that he will feel asleep. He would have been tired if he started in the night. But if he slept in the first third of the night and wakes up in the last third of the night, you see him now shifan. He has nashat. He has energy to worship. So he's better than the one who prayed through the night. Throughout the night. Why? Because that one will be tired at the time that prayer is most efficacious. But why has Al-Imam al-Bukhari brought this hadith here? He has brought it here because when Mishjan went on to begin to praise the man, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm sick, stop. La tusmi'hu fatuhlikuhu. Don't let him hear that you are praising him fatuhlikuhu, so that you don't destroy him. So apart from pouring sand in the face of those who praise people, what other thing can we say? We can say to them, I'm sick, stop it. Apart from pouring the sand in the face, if it is in the community where people are very knowledgeable, pour sand in the face. Let's note this point. In the community where the knowledge of sunnah is spread, people are knowledgeable. People have good consciousness of Islam. They have good respect. Pack the sand and pour in the face. They will know what you are doing. And if they don't know, Once you say Amarana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and nahtiya fi wujuhil madahina turab, you will know that you are talking about the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. They will respect the sunnah. But when you are in a place where the people are largely ignorant, you can say, I'm sick. You can tell the person to stop. It means one of the sunnah to practice when you see someone praising the other day, keep quiet. Stop it. But to make wudu so that you do not kill or destroy your brother. These are the lessons that Al-Imam al-Bukhari wants us to see from this hadith. And you'll understand with me now why that hadith was not discussed yesterday. We would not have been able to appropriately place the hadith. So it was why we chose to discuss it today. You see, we have just about 4 or 5 minutes to the end of class today. So we'd like to stop here, inshallah. We'll continue from the next hadith in the next class so that we can attend to the questions that we may have. Abu Amir.
Amir Shaykhana Ahsan Allah ilayk.
Ameen.
The first question here is, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ya Sheikh. May Allah continue to shine His light upon you.
Ameen.
All that's yours, sir. Please, I observed you sometimes give salutations to the Prophet, as alayhi salatu wa salam, contrary to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This seems strange to me, sir. Please help to talk more on this salutation. Can we use any of the two for all the prophets?
Well, the question is in two points. Why do we say alayhi salatu wasalam and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Well, the main thing in that is that if we say salat and the Prophet, it must have to have two things. As-salatu and as-salam, because that's what Allah commanded us. So, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslim. So, if you see sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so you see salat and as-salam, sallallahu alayhi, may Allah shower His blessings upon him. Wa sallam, so salam comes, put salat and salam comes. Likewise, if you say alayhi salatu wa salam, you see these two things. There is salat, there's also a salam. So, in fact, if you say waznan wa ma'nan, they are the same in their measurement and in their meaning. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Or sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and alayhi salatu wa salam are the same. In fact, if you rearrange sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will get alayhi salatu wa sallam. The second thing we employ to establish that is that it is common amongst the ulama, if you listen to the scholars. In fact, in the books of hadith, you find it like this. You find either alayhi salatu wa sallam or what sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the books of hadith, they are always writing either alayhi salatu wa sallam or what sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they are both the same. They are the same in their meaning. They are the same in their expressions. And the early Muslims, the scholars in the past and in the present, they say that about 7 weeks, 6 weeks ago now. Sorry to say that I'm using this as an example. But it came to my mind at that time. I was in the class with Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad in Madina. He was teaching a book of hadith. And he was also saying, like I was saying, sometimes he will say alayhi salatu wasalam. Sometimes he will say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I said, oh, just like we say too. So we have to say that because that's how the ulama say in the present. And in the past, if you listen to the audience of Al-Imam al-Bani rahimahullah or Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, you hear them say this a lot. They are either saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or they are saying what? Alayhi salatu wa sallam. And we can trace this back to the earlier times. This was the practice of this ummah. So either of them is sufficient regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for other prophets, as it's in your question, can we say peace to other prophets? Well, the list of what we should say regarding other prophets is to say alayhi salam. The least of what we can. Say regarding the fourth Allah, but if you say alayhi salam, Al-Imam Nawawi is the one that I remember now who has discussed this issue at length in his book Al-Adhkar. If you go back to Kitab Al-Adhkar by Al-Imam Abu Zakaria Al-Nawawi Rahimahullah Yahya ibn Sharafuddin, he discussed this at length. He even spoke about women like Maryam alayhi salam, like the mother of Musa, like the sister of Musa, like Asiya, these great women who had gone past. If we mention their names, what do we say regarding them? So we can go back to Kitab al-Adhkar of Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. I hope that clarifies that issue, Abu Amr.
Am ya Shaykhana, jazakallahu khair.
Ameen wa antum khairan.
A couple of questions and then witr.
Naam, bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Please, if one prays witr immediately after Isha, fearing that he won't be able to wake in the middle of the night and eventually wakes up, can he still observe nawafil without praying the witr again?
Yes, he can observe nawafil. One of such nawafil that he can observe is rak'at al-wudu, two units of prayer after wudu, because there's a sunnah after wudu to observe two units of prayer. So you can observe two units of prayer, and on each of them you can read al-Baqarah if you like. You can recite Surah al-Baqarah if you like in one rak'ah each. You can recite half of Baqarah. What I'm just saying by that is you can make it be as lengthy as you want. You can make it be as lengthy as you want if you wake up in the midnight after you have observed your witr in the night before you sleep. If you make wudu, you have 2 minutes of prayer you can observe before the fajr emerges. And after fajr, you observe your rak'at al-fajr. So you have 2 minutes of prayer after wudu, and you can make it be as lengthy as you would want. So it's allowed. Let me also mention this regarding long salah. Because making your witr or any other prayer you observe in the middle of the night, to make it lengthy is very good. And one of the ways to make it lengthy, some of us may ask, we have not memorized Al-Baqarah now. How can we do that? We have not memorized Al-Imran. So how do I make my standing lengthy in the middle of the night or during my witr? How do I handle that? One of the ways to handle that, it's also in the Sunnah of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, but we hardly talk about it, is that you can repeat a verse. You can repeat a verse. You can also repeat a surah. You can recite Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. You go back again, Qul huwallahu ahad, and you are still on the fourth day standing. So you can go on doing that, Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, till the end. You go back again, Qul huwallahu ahad, like that. You can do that for as long as you want to keep that rak'ah. You can even be repeating a single verse. There are narrations from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that he will repeat a single verse in qiyam. He continued yuraddiduha. He continued to repeat them until he chose to end the qiyam. So it's not only a surah that you can read to say read lengthy surahs. You can read a short surah that you know, but you repeat it. Even if it's a verse, you can repeat that verse for as long as you are standing during the night prayer. I hope that this point is inshallah is also noted. It's permissible, but we hardly talk about it when we discuss the night prayers and the length of those prayers. I hope that this is clear to Abu Amir.
نعم شيخنا جزاكم الله
خير. إياكم.
نعم. One is asking, is it the length of the rakah or the number of rakah that is more important than the tahajjud?
The scholars are so differently, have held differently about it. Some say the number of rakahs, the more the rakahs, the better. Some say the lengthier the salah, the better. This appear most correct to me. Because you read how the Prophet Salah was very lengthy. Very lengthy. He used to recite Surah Al-Baqarah, Al-Imran, Surah Al-Nisa, Surah Al-Na'ida in a single rak'ah in Qiyamul Layl. So his leg would be swollen up. So if it was just about quick runs, it's not likely that the legs will swell. You get swollen. Allahu alam. So it appears to me, and when Aisha radiallahu anha was describing in Sahih al-Bukhari the 11 rak'at that the Prophet used to perform, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was saying that you shouldn't talk about husniha wa tuliha. Don't talk about how nice and long the salah. She was praising the niceness of the recitation and the length of those rak'at. And it was said that the Prophet too, alayhi salam, even when he stands so long in salah, his ruku too will be long like the standing. So if you read Baqarah and you make a ruku that's as long as the period when you made, when you read Baqarah, how long will that ruku be? So Allahu alam, it appears that that is most common with him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Even though if what is easy for you is to make it quick. Qul huwa Allahu ahad in all. If that is what is easy, be sure that you stick to it. Because أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مَذَا أَدْوَمُهَا says أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّ. The one you stick to, even if it may be small, those are the good deeds that are more beloved to Allah. It may be small, but stick to it and be regular upon it. This is what is most important. So if you can pray lengthy one, stick to it, be regular with it. If you can pray 11, Qul huwa Allahu ahad and falak and nas, stick to it and be regular with it. Hoping that Allah will accept it from all of us and forgive our mistakes. Is it clear, Abu Amir?
Naam, Shaykhana. Salawatullah alayhi.
Ameen wa iya.
So they're asking, is it possible to also...
Today?
Naam, Shaykhana.
Okay.
Is it possible to also fold the Mus'haf and read the long surah to make the prayer lengthy? Jazakumullahu khair.
Ameen wa iya. Well, the issue of folding the Mus'haf when we read in the night prayer, the scholars have also held differently. From the time of the Tabi'un, they have held differently. There are some of them who say that it is not permissible. Let me start with that. Like Al-Imam Ibrahim Ibn Yazid Al-Nakhai, he said that it's not permissible, that is the way of the non-Muslims. They are the ones who, when they worship, they hold their hymns, you know, the Catholics and the Anglicans, when they worship, they hold their book, their hymns book. So don't do that. That's what we are encouraged in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Read what is easy for you in Qiyamul Layl. Why do you want to hold the Mus'haf? So Ibrahim ibn Yazid, amongst the Tabi'un, he had that view. If I also remember vividly, Al-Imam al-Zuhri, rahimahullah, Muhammad ibn Muslim, ibn Abdullah ibn Ubaidullah ibn Shihab ibn Zuhri, he has that view too. Don't hold the mushaf when you are observing Qiyamul Layl. So some of the scholars have that view. That is most attractive to me, because it leaves you to observe that Qiyamul Layl just within your ability. That is the essence of repeating, the permissibility of repeating a surah. So if it is just Surah Al-Ikhlas that you know, let it be that as you know it, then you repeat it. If it's just a single verse that you know, then let it be that single verse, then you repeat it. So you will not have to feign having to say, okay, let me carry a mushaf. So I will read length. If it is just one verse, you're repeating that verse in the Qiyamul Layl. That is what is easy for you. And then it will encourage you to learn more surahs in the Quran. So this view, Allahu A'lam, is more enticing to me, because it makes you yourself. It makes you yourself. No takalluf, no burdening yourself with it. You are just yourself. So on the other hand, there are those amongst the ulama who say that it is permissible. Because one of the freed slaves of Aisha radiallahu anha, I think his name was Tawban or so, he would lead her in Salah, in Qiyam, in the night, and then he would hold the Mus'haf, he would hold a copy of the Mus'haf and read from it. So because of this narration, some of the scholars say that it is permissible. So Allahu A'lam, I hope that I had explained what that involves regarding the two views. Is that clear?
No, Shaykh, no. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان
الرجيم.
نعم، جزاكم الله خير.
آمين وأنتم جزاكم الله خير. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
سبحان الله وبحمده، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.